Time now to talk some tennis. We're buoyant about this summer of tennis, aren't we? There is so much good news around from an Australian point of view, highlighted by the fact that Alex Diminor played two games yesterday. In the end, the final of the Sydney International, he beat Andreas Seppi 7-5, 7-6, including a second game of the day after the semi-final and, of course, his first ATP tournament. Yep. So,
in his hometown. Fantastic effort.
In his hometown. So, yeah, looking, unfortunately, Ash Barty beaten in the women's final. Let's have a chat with Leo about what we what he expects to happen over the next couple of weeks down there in Melbourne. G'day, Leo.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Leo.
Thanks again for your time. You're always good with for our listeners, and we do appreciate it. I think the big news from a tennis point of view, apart from the great performances of the Australians, Andy Murray's decision to tearfully announce that he was going to be stepping away from the game. Oh, we mentioned it last week on the program, Leo. He's clearly inconvenienced by that hip injury, but what a guy who's been able to squeeze the lemon throughout the course of his career.
Absolutely. I think Darren Cahill used the analogy of someone who empties the bucket, and that's what he's done for his entire career, someone who came from the most unconventional background when you think that he grew up in the Scottish Highlands, and there he is going off to Spain and really learning the hard way how to play tennis, and such a committed person. And, you know, they're basically Great Britain's first male champion in almost 80 years.
Yeah.
He ends up winning three majors, two Olympic gold medals, wins Davis Cup for the Brits for the first time in ages, and became this huge beacon for them. I really hope there's a legacy beyond Andy's career, because he deserves as much as that, because he had the respect of everybody with the way he played. And when you think how close he came five times at the Australian Open, five times at the final, three of them at least he got soundly beaten, had issues in several of them, but just a great champion. To win Wimbledon twice, what that meant to Great Britain was phenomenal, and just a great competitor.
He wants to try and make Wimbledon again this year, and that looks like being his swan song. What can he do at the Australian Open, and can this hip, I guess, hold up for Wimbledon, Leo?
I'm hoping it will, Ray. I think he deserves to have that swan song at his home tournament, his home Grand Slam. But in terms of this tournament, I wouldn't write him off, but he's got a very tough opponent in Roberto Bautista Agut tomorrow night at Melbourne Arena, and that's no pushover. Bautista Agut is the 22nd seed, and he rolled Novak Djokovic in Doha in the first tournament of the year. So these are the type of circumstances that in the past, the old Andy Murray, you know mentally he's going to be there tomorrow night. Physically, it's a matter of how restricted he is now, and we saw in that practice match with Novak Djokovic the other day, 6-1, 4-1, and he was just so animated and disappointed himself after that. I just hope he can be competitive tomorrow night.
Let's talk about some of the Aussies, Leo, because this is exciting. Alex Diminor might be a little early for him, 19 years of age, and maybe not the weapons that we associate with men's tennis right now. But Ash Barty, beaten in three sets by Petra Kvitova last night, but the way she's been playing and the attitude that she has, what impact do you think she can have on this women's side of the draw at the Aussie Open?
I think if she gets on a roll, and she clearly is on one now, and we saw her do something similar leading into Wimbledon last year when she was in finals and really super competitive in everything. And I think at Wimbledon last year, she came unstuck because she was in all three disciplines. She was in mixed as well as doubles and singles. And I think if she measures her effort here, I'm not sure what plan she has for mix, but I'm hoping she's not playing it.
Right.
That she can really shape it, because she's got the type of game that in any match against any opponent, if she gets more forehands than backhand, she's going to be winning the match normally. And she's such a brilliant player to watch, because she brings that attacking point of difference. She's not out there just being a counterpuncher and hoping her opponent's going to make a mistake. Mm. It's on her racket she takes the initiative, and that's why I think she's so feared. And she is such a beautiful ball striker and such a great eye that she's one of the people that you ask any of the top coaches, there's a spot in the top five for her. We're not sure yet if she's quite ready for it, but don't be surprised she does, because on the women's side of the game, in the past eight Grand Slams, we've had eight different champions. So if that trend keeps going, Ash is right in the frame.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. She's great to watch, as is Alex Dimon or Leo, because he just chases everything. You love a bloke who fights as hard as he does. But he's got it tough tomorrow. He's got to play at 3 o'clock at this stage, off the back of having to play two matches yesterday. Fortunately, they both were straight sets wins, though his win in the final against Seppi was closer than it was a close contest, went deep into the night. Why couldn't the scheduling be a little bit more flexible to allow someone like him, who's had a tough day in Sydney, has to travel interstate and then get ready to play basically day one, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and Ash is in the same situation.
Yeah.
She didn't have to play backup matches on the same day, but I suspect it was the pressure of international broadcasting which prompted Tennis Australia to say that the order of play would be what it was in terms of top half and bottom half when they were playing, and that was announced on Friday. You would have thought that, in retrospect, it would have been ideal for Alex. The only thing I would say is that he's going to go into the match with Pedro Sousa, knowing he's hitting the ball really well, and at 19... he's going to recover really well. So today is going to be a light day. It's not ideal, absolutely not. The good thing is if he gets through this match tomorrow, we won't see him again until Wednesday. It'd be a really good chance for him to put his feet up, and hopefully any niggles that he has, he can iron those out.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. It's a very... it's a short market, isn't it? Because Novak Djokovic is such a dominant figure in there. Do you see anyone beating Novak this year at the Australian Open, Leo?
I know Ray will be delighted to hear this, but there's certain bloke called Federer. I reckon that the accusations of favouritism have started already about Roger's scheduling, and sure enough, where do we find him tomorrow night? He's playing in the night session. It's going to be hot in Melbourne, but the fact is that Roger Federer fills stadiums around the world because of his star power. And if the broadcast is going into Europe, there's no point putting it on first thing in the morning. Let's have it on at night where the Europeans can watch it. So if Roger gets on a roll, and we've seen him do it here and we've seen him written off before, I get the feeling that this will be his last full season, if not his last full season.
Wow.
I see him being a challenge. Zverev, until he hurt his ankle, was a challenge, and Rafa. Mm. But in these quick conditions, and it's going to be quick in the heat, Kevin Anderson, Marin Cilic, John Isner, three massive guys with huge serves, they can shape the tournament as well.
Mm-hmm. What about the Australian men's, Leo? Obviously, Dimonor seeded 27, but Kyrgios and Tomic, they're both playing pretty good tennis at the moment. John Millman, we know, is a great scrapper. How are the Australian men stacking up, and who can go deep into the tournament?
Yeah, I think Alex is the one with his draw. Obviously, Nick playing Milos Raonic, they've had some big battles. They're 3-3 in their head-to-head. Bernie Tomic has got Marin Cilic. That's a really daunting draw. Bernie, in the form he's in, against anybody else, you'd back him to win. But against Marin, it's a different situation altogether. John Millman, as you said, he's got Del Bonis. He's someone that he can beat. And Matt Ebden, he had a fantastic year last year. He's another player. He can do some damage as well. But I feel for poor old James Duckworth. I think his last three at the majors, he's copped really big players. I think he's got something like Cilic, Zverev and Andy Murray in order. So you just hope for Ducky that after all the work he's done to come back from those five surgeries, that he would top a break. If not to be this time, he knows what can happen. Mm.
All right, on the spot, Leo. Your last dollar goes on who?
Novak Djokovic, and I think Serena will create history as well.
Serena, okay.
Wow, so Serena, both top of the market, $2.20 Novak Djokovic. Serena is $5. But I think, again, that goes back to the point you made about just how open that it has been from a women's point of view over the last eight Grand Slam tournaments. Angelique Kerber at $8. Ash Barty, not far away in the market, at $13 either. Why Serena?
I just think with her record here, she's just... And last year, coming back after childbirth, got injured at the French Open, finals of Wimbledon in the US, played well at the Hopman Cup to suggest that she's going to be a threat here, and she loves it. She's going for title number 8 in Melbourne, and little query over her ankle, but She's been very, very inconspicuous at Melton Park, which is unusual for her. She's really got her mind on the job to try and equal Margaret Court's 24th in Melbourne.
Bit of history, potentially. Hey, Leo, we haven't spoken to you for a while, but congratulations, firstly, on your Walkley Award. Appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can talk to you through the Australian Open the next couple of weeks as well.
It'd be my pleasure.
Thanks so much, Leo.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Leo Schlenk, who is outstanding journo, as you've highlighted there, but also a great friend of the program. We do appreciate his input when it comes to tennis.